And it's an easy chapter to read. You'll find that it is loaded with practical teaching here that's going to apply to us this morning. I personally believe chapter 2 is a very important chapter. I think it reveals a lot about a society, and I also believe it reveals a lot of failures sometimes in our Christian life. But we'll look at some important things we'll find here. But let's pray first, and we'll get right into our lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you for, Lord, the past week and all the blessings of the week. And, Lord, we do thank you for this day and the beautiful day that you've given us today. We thank you for the day of life. And, Lord, we realize, we acknowledge this morning that this life we have today, it's a gift from you, and we thank you for it. We pray for your blessings upon the day. We pray for the blessings upon our church this morning. We pray for our service this morning, the message, and also the message this evening. We pray for your blessings there. We pray for our fellowship today as we eat and have fellowship there. We pray for your blessings there as well. Lord, we also want to pray for those that are not able to be with us today. Maybe they're sick. Maybe something, difficulty, maybe in one's life, whatever the case may be. We just pray that you would, Lord, supply their needs this morning. We pray for the sick, that you would heal them. We pray for the lost that needs to be saved, that Lord, today would be the day of salvation for those that are lost. And God, I pray that you help us to be a good testimony, a good witness, unto those that need to hear the gospel. We pray for our missionaries once again today, and Lord, how special they are and how important they are to the work here on this earth. And we pray that you would once again supply their needs this week. And we pray that you give them fruit for their labors today, and that you would bless them in a special, special way today. We pray for our nation, Lord. We need help. We need revival. Lord, we need spiritual direction once again. And God, we pray that you'll give it, that you'll grant that you would give revival here in this land once again. May it start with us. And Lord, may you do a work in our life. We pray for our lesson this morning. We pray that you bless here as well. In the next few moments that we have, we ask for your blessings, for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. In chapter 2 of Titus, we'll find here, does anybody know who wrote the book of Titus? Paul did. Paul wrote the book of Titus, and he wrote the letter was sent to whom? To Titus. All right. So that's pretty simple. And we'll find here in this chapter that it's Paul that is giving information here unto Titus, and for Titus to take this and actually teach it to others in the church. And the reason it needed to be taught in the church is because it was lacking in the church. When you have people, as we have acknowledged, anytime you have people involved in a church, you're going to have some problems. Would you not agree? The reason they're problems is because guess what? We're problems. When you walked in, you brought in all your problems. When I walked in, I brought in all my problems, and I've got a heap of problems in life. And I think everybody would agree that we all have our degree of problems in life. But if we would be honest this morning, we are problem people. We're flesh. We fight sin just like anybody else does in life. We have difficulties. We have trials. We have problems and all that. So Paul here is continuing to deal with the issues of the day and what was needed in that day. And now Paul is going to instruct Titus to take what's given here, give it to the people, and you're going to find there's about, I think there's five different categories that we're going to look at. He's going to address the older men, all right? He's going to address the older women, the younger men, the younger women, servants, or those that work for someone else. He's going to deal with that as well. And he's going to give you a lot of information here, and we'll kind of steer through it here and look at several things here. But in this chapter, Paul is instructing Titus on various relationships. You'll find that in verse number 2, he says the aged men. All right? You're going to find in verse number 3, the aged women. Now, does anybody want to take a shot at what that means? Older, right? Good word. I didn't say old. We said older, right? Right. Where is that fine line when you become from a child to what we, in our day and age, we call them teenagers, and then they go from teenagers to what we call young adulthood. After you become a young adult, you become older, right? Now, I don't know where that line is. I don't know what the age is. Paul doesn't give us an idea of what he classifies as far as a numerical age on a person when they become older, but he's going to deal with older people as well here. But we go back to verse number 1. He says, but speak thou the things which becometh sound doctrine. Now, we know that doctrine, sound doctrine, when it says sound doctrine, it basically means the right doctrine, if you would. If you're going to help people, you got to give them the truth, right? You can't help anybody when you give them falsehoods. Many churches this morning, if they get up and all they do is promote and teach falsehoods, you hadn't helped anybody in that congregation. You got to give them sound doctrine. Now, when it gets down to sound doctrine, that's where a lot of people are going to fall by the wayside in our day and age, because many people don't want sound doctrine. They don't want the Word of God. These doctrines are going to be what all the different things that Paul is going to give here in this chapter is sound doctrine. It is scriptural. It is biblical. It's the right teaching to give. And he's going to start breaking all these different brackets down and start giving information of how their life ought to be. These doctrines, in many cases, you'll find, have probably been long lost in our society. In fact, it would do us a heap of good if we as a nation would get back to this chapter. And you're going to find all this information. But he says here in verse number 1, he tells Titus, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he goes into the first bracket of individuals. He says that in verse number 2, that the aged men, all right, aged men, so that's talking about what kind of men? Older, all right? What age does that begin? Do not know. I just know that they're older, okay? Many of us that are males in this room this morning, we are in that category. We're older. Now, just because we're older, or you may be older, doesn't mean that there's no more room for you to learn. You have to understand here that Paul is telling Titus, you got to teach the older men this. Are you with me this morning? So there's nobody in our church or any church that's arrived, that's gotten to the finish line and across that finish line where there's no more room for improvement or growth. There's always room for growth in a person's life. But he's going to start and begin with the aged men in verse number 2. And he tells them, first of all, to be what? Be sober. All right, y'all going to have to talk to me this morning a little bit. All right, to be sober. So, and by the way, this word sober, Paul uses it often in his writings. The word sober basically means unmixed with wine, or wineless is what the word means. Okay? You need to stay away from intoxicating drink. All right? Now, why do you think Paul tells him that? That's bad. Why is it bad? Help me out. Can't think straight. All right? Intoxicating drinks will cause you to not think very straight. It creates a lot of problems. Now, we seem as society today that we've moved a little bit past this, and we often find most of our teaching and preaching centered around maybe drug abuse and so forth. But I'm here to tell you that we have an alcohol problem. We have an alcohol. That problem has not gone away. A lot of money in it. Why do you think Walmart just built an extension on their building? I've never been in it. I don't know that I've ever even glanced in it and so forth. But it's a pretty good size addition on the building and so forth. And what's the only thing they're selling inside there? Help me. They're selling what? Liquor, alcohol, intoxicating drink. All right. That ought to be a no-no for a believer. Paul tells the aged men here to be sober. All right, to be grave. Now, it does not say gray-headed. It says grave. All right, grave. The word grave means to be respected, to be dignified. As an aged man, there ought to be something about you because of your age. You should know some things in life. You've lived it. You've lived longer. An older person ought to know more than a young person, correct? Why? Why should an older man be smarter than a young man? He's lived longer. Help me out. Why? He's got experience. I mean, there's some things in life that I can tell you, you don't do it that way. All right. The reason you don't do it that way is because I've done it that way and it doesn't work out. All right. That's experience. Some things in life you have done that has worked out, and you could say, I know by experience, if you'll do it this way, it'll all work out. It's called wisdom. It's called knowledge. It's not something that you just get, if you got saved yesterday, God doesn't zap you with a magic wand and just make you all knowing and all wise. You get wisdom and understanding over time by experience, by living life, if you would. And that's what that word grave there means. It means to be dignified, to be respected. It comes by experience. It comes from trial and error, if you would, in life. All right. So we find the aged men to be sober, to be grave, to be what? Temperate. All right. What does that mean? It means to behave in a sensible manner. As we get older and as we learn and as we grow and the more that we become respected because of our experience, then it also orderly to temperance, which means that you can live life in a sensible manner. And how is it that you can live life in a sensible manner? It comes because of the age of you, because of the experience that you've had in life. He goes on, he says, sound in faith. When I read this, it basically means older men need to know what the Bible teaches, right? The reason you ought to know is because you've got age upon you. Hopefully you've been raised in church, you've been going to church, you've been in a Sunday school class or in services, and as you continue to go over the years, you learn, you grow, you have a better understanding. You ought to be someone, as an older man, sound in the faith, all right? By the way, I think we're lacking a lot in this area of sound in the faith with older men because a lot of older men never went to church growing up. And when that happens, that does create a problem in churches and in a society as well. But he goes on. He says, the aged men, verse number 2, to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity. Now, everybody knows charity is what? Love. All right. An older man ought to be able to love. I don't know if better is the right word here, but an older man, because of his experience, his knowledge, his wisdom of living life, trial and error, knowing some things that work because you experienced that, and maybe there's things in life that you've done that didn't work, because of that you've learned from that, but you ought to be able to live life in love, in charity, he says here. And let's go back, verse number 2, the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity in what? All right, let's skip that one. I don't like that one. Let's move on to the next one here. Patience. All right. You know, it is hard to be patient in life because about everything in life is instant nowadays. Just everything in life is available to us today. It's instant. I mean, it's something that you don't really have to wait for anything anymore. It's not, and that's a society that we have become. But older men should be somebody that's patient in life. As you grow and as you mature and as you age, that ought to be something that becomes a doctrine or a practice of a child of God that is an older man. So we get to verse number 3, the aged what? Women. Aged women. What does that mean? What's aged women mean? It means you're older. All right. Paul's pretty crafty here. He didn't call us old. He just said that older, right? Or aged, if you would, here. Verse number 3, and aged women likewise, all right? So that means much of what he just gave you about the men applies as well. He goes on to say here that in verse number 3, and the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? All right, let's stop and let's go back and read a couple of words here. Let's first of all define behavior. What's behavior? It's how you act. It'd be like Miss Richardson teaches young ones here to school, and she may tell a student sometimes, you're behaving badly. All right? It means the way you act is not acceptable. Are y'all with me this morning? So we find here in verse number 3 that he's dealing with the aged women. Likewise. All right, which the word likewise is referring back to verse number 2. Those principles apply there as well, that they be in behavior, talking about the way you live your life as becometh what? Holiness, right? It means that your lifestyle that you live ought to be set in high standards that would portray holiness in your life. Are y'all with me this morning? It's something that's been far, far left many years ago. Not much talk, not much singing, not much preaching, teaching, and much anymore about holiness. And it's a behavior issue here that Paul is telling Titus that you've got to teach the older or aged women in the church that they need to behave, live their life in such a high standard that it portrays holiness to people. Right? Nobody's going to help me here. All right, let's move on here. And he says here, not false accusers. Anybody want to take a shot at what you think that means? Talking about people. Right, what's another word we use a lot? Sometimes we always, what? God. Ooh, y'all said it, not me. I did not say that, ladies. I'll be honest with you. I find many times men are a lot more worse gossipers than women are. But the old saying, you know, for some reason, ladies, I don't know who started this, but somewhere back in history, somebody started kind of putting a little title on you that you're gossipers. Paul does tell Titus here that you've got to teach the older women that they don't need to be false accusers, telling or spreading things that are false. I guess we could maybe word it this way. Not false accusers basically means you need to have your tongue in control. Right? Man, you're scared now to even reply. You bunch of weasels. Y'all kind of weaseled out on me here a little bit. Applies to a man. You need to learn how to control your tongue. Now, me personally, I find that one of the hardest things in the world to do. I like to voice my opinion because my opinion's right. You know, have you ever thought, I think I told my wife this even last night, I think I'm the only sane man left on planet Earth. You ever thought that sometimes? Huh? You know what happens sometimes? My tongue gets in the way. My tongue can get me into trouble. I have to learn how to control it. I have to understand there are a lot of times in life it's best to keep your mouth shut. You ever heard that said? There are times that I think people ought to speak up. I don't think that because we're a Christian that we'll just keep our mouth shut about everything. It's okay to voice our opinions and what's true and maybe scripture and what's right in this world. You've got to be able to do it in the right way. Don't be a false accuser, he says here. Tell the older women, don't be false accusers. Live your life in such a high standard that it portrays holiness in life. Don't be a false accuser here, he says in verse number 3. He says, not given to much wine. Anybody want to take a shot at that one? What's that mean? Okay, now, some people look at it two different ways. Some people look at it, it's okay to drink, but don't drink too much. Now, I've never been an alcoholic, never been in a family with an alcoholic, don't know anything about what that's like, but I've been taught or been told that once you take one drink, it's easy to take two drinks. And once you take two drinks, it's extremely easy to take three. And you know the progression of the teaching there. All right? Now, here's my opinion. You stay away from it, you won't have a problem. Is that right? It's kind of hard to not be taken to much wine, you know, if you don't have any of it. He says in verse number 3, not given to much wine in verse number 3. He says also in verse number 3, teachers of what? Of good things. That's why we asked this morning. Anybody got something positive, something good? The reason we asked for it, because it's something you can't hardly get anymore. I can't watch the news and get it. I can't watch television and get it. And sadly, often in life, you can't really find a whole lot from a lot of other people. But older women or aged women, Paul says here, he says, Timothy, teach them that they need to be teachers of good things, to be an example, to be instructors in good things of life. And that is one of the doctrines or one of the practices that Paul says ought to be taught to the older women. Okay? Now, Let's see, that's verse number 2, the aged men, and there's some categories there that Paul gives them. Verse number 3, the aged women, and different categories that he gives unto them. And he ends verse number 3 about the older women or the aged women. They are to be teachers of good things, that they may teach the what? Teach the what? The young women. All right, now you're going to find categories for young women. I'm going to be honest with you. It's the longest category that Paul gives. He gives more in this one category than he's going to give to the young men, the older women, and the older men. And he's going to be pretty direct here. He says that they may teach the young women to be what? To be what? Sober, right? Paul, as I mentioned a while ago, he uses this over and over in all of his writings, to be sober. And to me, when I see something that Paul repeats over and over and over, it was probably a pretty big problem in that day. And so he tells Titus here in verse number 3 that if you get, you need to get the doctrine and the teaching down to the aged men, to the aged women, and then the aged women can take this, and then they can also teach the next generation of the young women. And by the way, that is the progression that God always gives. He raises up a generation of people, and we have a generation here, and we are to teach the next generation. And that generation will grow up, and they'll teach the next generation. And that's the progression that it ought to be. But he says here in verse number 4 that they may teach the young women to be sober, right? Now, the word sober means what? Not responsible, mentally sharp, if you would. It's the opposite of how a intoxicated person would act. An intoxicated person has very little control over their functions, their actions, their words, the way they walk. They can't control anything about themselves. A person that's sober is someone who is in control of themselves. All right? He goes on and says to love their what? To love their what? Husbands. All right? To love their husbands. Now, I think we would all agree this morning that love is the foundation of any good home. Would you not agree? To me, home is the place where, with all your faults, you're still loved. Now, that's not going to happen very much outside of that realm of your family. Right? You'll find that you'll get more forgiveness from a family member than probably about anybody else. Right? And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. A home ought to be rooted in love. Young women, as they get married, they are instructed that first qualification, I guess, that Paul puts on that marriage is you need to do what? You need to love your husband. Now, we can spend a lot of time right here on what is love, and it's kind of, I don't know, you read this and you think, you know, Paul, why do you say that? I mean, if they get married, sure they love one another. I think we live in a day and age nowadays that most people approach marriage, well, if it works out, okay. If it doesn't, I mean, we can always split up. You should never enter into a marriage if you don't love that individual. Because love is going to be the foundation of that home. And may I also say that, wife, you are going to be the central point of having a happy home. You know the old saying, if mama ain't happy, what's it say? Ain't nobody happy. Is it true? It's true. I don't know how I could give enough words and say the right things this morning to put enough importance on how important the wife and the mom is in a home. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be what? Sober, to love their husbands. I mentioned love to me would be the foundation of any happy home. Love is the glue that holds families together. I think if anybody in this room has ever raised a family, and we're in the process of raising one, we haven't finished that process yet, but many of you have finished that process, you would have to agree that you know, your home ought to be the happiest place in your life. It ought to be the place where you go, where you can be yourself, you can relax. Everybody in that room, in that home, may know all your faults and all your positives, all your negatives, but guess what? They still love you. And by the way, if you're a parent this morning, your children ought to know that they love you. All right, let's move on here. It says, we're in verse what? 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their what? That's interesting. You would think it would be just naturally that they'd love their children. I believe this morning you're commanded to love your children. He said, now why in the world would Paul put something like that? I mean, that's just natural. I mean, it's natural for a mom to love their children. I'm not too sure about that. So what do you mean? You go to Walmart, sit on a bench today and watch. I'm amazed sometimes how young people are treated by their moms. And when you break down that love bond between a child and a mom, what does that child have left? I mean, they're screaming, they're hollering, the language nowadays that moms use with their children, I mean, just cursing right there in front of... I'm just, to be honest with you, I'm appalled at how society talks today. Filth and garbage. Let's be honest. You can go home today. You can watch the news today, and you're going to find out that you live in a society where moms abuse their children. They abuse them physically. They abuse them verbally. They abuse them mentally. And we have a young society that is completely out of control today. And we'll watch the news, and yet once again, some kid will go into a high school or a school and just kill his classmates. Yesterday, and there were no red flags. I promise you there's some red flags somewhere in that child's life. It all goes back to the home. And we find here that Paul is telling Timothy, or Titus here, that you have got to instruct the aged men in verse 2, the aged women in verse number 3. And aged women can, as they learn and as they mature and as they grow, they learn a lot of things in life, and they can help out in verse number 4 and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. All right? Verse 5 is a continuation. To be what? To be discreet. The word discreet there means that you ought to be proper in the way that you behave yourself in life. To be proper. I would dare say this morning that maybe Brother Bradley and Brother Yandel could probably teach this better than anybody else, because they're around young girls that are, what age would they be when they come into your class, Brother Bradley? 14 to 15, somewhere in that range? So you're getting 16 to 17, somewhere in that range, I believe. I think they could probably agree. Most of them don't know how to behave in life. They don't know. And it's very obvious if you're around them long enough, they don't know. Why don't they know? They're not taught. They're not taught. Either they weren't taught by the older women, or they weren't taught at home, or they weren't taught at their church. And if you don't get it from those three, who are you going to get it from? Let me tell you where most of them are taught from. Their best friend. Because their best friend knows everything. And they know more than everybody else in this world. We find here that he says that they are to be discreet, means to be, the word discreet in verse number 5, and I wrote the definition down, to be proper in one's behavior, to behave right. And we need to understand not all young ladies know how to behave as a young lady. They need to be taught proper behavior and what is proper and what is not proper. They need to be taught what not to do and what to do in life. They need to be taught how to act and how not to act in life. They have to be taught. And it's our responsibility to teach them. And the young lady needs to hear it. I'm going to I don't want to step out of my bounds here a little bit, but young ladies need to hear it a lot more from another lady than they do Brother Gandel and Brother Bradley. You know, a lady can teach another young lady a lot better than a man can teach her. Right? Are y'all with me this? Is anybody awake this? Is everybody asleep? Let me put my glasses back on. Huh? And by the way, there are some things in life that a man ought not be teaching her anyway, another woman ought to teach her. There are some issues in life that I think would be improper for Brother Bradley to teach his young ladies in his class. Would you agree to that, Brother Bradley? Brother Yanda, would you not agree? There are just some issues it's best for a woman to take care of and not a man, especially in the day we live in today. So who's to teach them? Y'all help me out. Who's to teach them? Their mothers. Their mothers, all right. Now Paul says here to Titus here that it ought to be who? The older women. Who could that be? It may be another older woman in school. It could be another older lady in the church. It could be a man's wife or something of that nature. But sometimes when you're dealing with young ladies, we have to be extremely careful in how we do that. Would you not agree? Isn't it amazing as you read God's Word how wise the Word of God is? Isn't it amazing how it's all done so proper, it's all straight in line, it's done the right way? We're talking about God's Word this morning. Discreet. So we've got to verse number 5, that they are to be discreet. You'll find chaste as well here. That means to be morally pure. Something that you are not going to hear in the society you live in today. Morally pure. All right, anybody want to take a shot at it? What's it mean to be morally pure? There you go. It means, well, it actually it does apply, I think it applies probably in several aspects of life. For instance, it would be that maybe we ought to teach a young lady that you keep yourself pure and you keep yourself for your husband. Am I saying it okay there? Okay. You keep yourself pure and you save yourself for your one person God has for you on planet Earth to be your husband. That's to be morally pure. You teach that today and you'll get laughed out of a room. I dare say you teach it even in our school here, there'll be a few giggles in the room. Because it's foreign. Nobody teaches that anymore. Somebody better teach them. If somebody doesn't reach that next generation of young girls, young ladies, if you would, can you imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years? Do we realize how sad society is for young people? To be chaste, it says here. Right? Now, everybody with me so far? Ladies, are y'all with me? Y'all not mad, right? Because you're going to get mad, I'm afraid, on my next one. What's the next one say, Brother Duane? Wow, that's the opposite of what you're going to read on the news. I did not. I didn't say it. You did. Keepers at home. Every young lady, and he's dealing with young ladies here, but if it applies to the young lady, it applies to the older ones here. It is your responsibility to take care of your home. Well, I work all day. I'm tired. Quit your job. Let's be honest. Most people are having everybody in the household work to buy a house that we don't even spend time in anymore. It takes everybody working 3 jobs to make the payments. Now, I may make some people mad right here, but I personally believe if you're a lady in this room, your greatest responsibility is to your husband and to your family, to your home, not some corporation. And not one soul is going to help me out. I'm on a deserted island here. I'm going to dig myself in a deep hole here. Your greatest responsibility is your husband, your children, and your home. And I understand sometimes. We live in a day and age nowadays where it takes about 2 or 3 jobs to make a living. I do understand that. And in some cases, it may require the wife or the mother to work a job. I do understand that. But if it takes away from your responsibility of the home, you better quit that job. Because if we don't have you in the home, listen to me, we're not going to have a home. Now, everybody's experiences are different. I grew up in a home where my mom was always at home. And my dad made sure that was going to be that way. When I came home from school, my mom always was there. And usually always had me something to eat when I came home. I like that. I'm not naive to think that we had a perfect home, but I was raised in a very good home. And my mom loved me. And my mom knew about everything going on in my life, and I'm glad she did. She knew who my friends were. She knew where, she would know where I'm going and what I'm doing for the most part. And I think she did a very good job at the responsibility that God gave to her. I mean, my mom, I think I was telling Patty the other day, I can remember becoming a teenager in church. I decided I'm going to sit with my friends. And it was okay. Mom, Dad, you know, they're okay. They'd say, no, you know, if you're going to sit with them, you better behave like you would if you were sitting by me. Of course, any teenager, that's fine. Got over my buddies and so forth, my friends, and there were several of us and so forth. And I can still remember there was a church service. I was on the other side of the church. My mom could clear her throat, and I knew exactly who it was. And I didn't want to look over, but when I looked over, she was looking right at me, and her eyes were that big. Because a mom knows. We don't give them enough credit, but moms know. A keeper of... All right, let's go back. I'm getting off track here a little bit. Let's see. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. All right? Anybody want to take a shot? What is a keeper at home? It didn't say you're the zookeeper, even though sometimes it's like a zoo. What? Like you're a zookeeper? What's a keeper at home? Y'all help me out. Men, y'all can help out too. Take care of things at home. It did, and I even put myself some notes down. Let me go back and see if I can find mine. Where am I at here? We're in verse what, 5? Keepers at home. I did make myself a note. Managing a home is no easy task. Maybe one of the hardest tasks you're ever going to face in your life. Because your job here, I think my wife said this before, my job never ends. Right? Having a smooth running home does not happen by accident. It's planned. And it all starts with the wife, the mother, the female, if you would. And your role is a big, big role. Keepers? How's it worded, keepers at home? Is that how it's worded, I believe? Let me look here. Where am I at? Verse number 5. Keepers at home. What did we say that meant? Meant what? Take care of things at home, all right? Y'all help me out a little bit. What is it? What could it entail? It doesn't have to be, but what could it be? Help me out. Keep everything in order. I don't know how it is at your household, but that washer machine, it better run every day. It may be twice. It never ends at our house. There's clothes to be washed and folded and put away. Does it have to be her responsibility all the time? Doesn't have to be all the time. Men can help out. Children can help out. Getting a meal on the table. Now, when I say put a meal on the table, most people don't know what that means anymore. It's this wooden square thing or round thing, and one of these rooms got chairs around it. That's it used to be where the American family ate their meals. pick up around the house, keep a house, try to clean up the house, somehow keep it in order. You got to get everybody up on time, get them dressed and out the door. If you have children, you got school work, school activities, you've got, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And let's be honest, when it comes to the wife and keeping a home, that is a major job. Keepers at home. Next word is what? G-O-O-D. What's that? Good. It means to be noble. It means to be honorable. He goes on to say in verse number 5, obedient to their what? Once again, you find that in there. Whether society we live in likes it or not, and you may totally disagree with me if you want to, and that's fine this morning, but I believe that there are roles that God places in the home, and he's not going to change. I don't care what woman's lib tells you. One of the most wicked things in this day and age, I believe, nowadays, is this women's lib thing going around. Now, I didn't write that. But I honestly believe that this is God's inspired word. I shouldn't even feel like it's a little awkward even saying that. But it's almost like even in our room this morning, it's a little awkward for me to say that when you read here and you read it aloud where it says in verse number 5, be obedient to their own husbands. I mean, you're talking about something nowadays that is as foreign as the day is long. Are y'all with me this morning? Now, I've already told you that Paul is going to give twice to three times as much on this one category than any other category in this chapter. Now, when it says that you're to be obedient to your own husbands, it doesn't mean that you do things that are non-scriptural or wrong or sinful or illegal. He's not, and by the way, the husband, you're not a slave master. Let's see, where am I at? Verse number 5, obedient to their own husbands. All right, and then this last phrase here is telling you why we do all of this, that the word of God be not what? Blasphemed. Why do I have to do all that? He tells you why. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, let's be honest. If we were to teach what we just have given this morning in the average room of society, we'd be laughed out of the room. And may I say this morning, that's why our world is so wrong. So wrong. We'll find, let's see, my time's out. I'm going to pick up right here next week instead of skipping the remainder, because in verse number 6, he says, first two words are what? Young what? Young men. Now he's going to talk to young men. So we've just looked at three categories. Verse number 2, he talks about the aged men and what needs to be. Understand, Paul is telling Titus, this is what you teach the aged men. Be sober, grave, and on and on. Verse number 3, to the aged women, likewise. All right? So we've got the aged women. Then we get down to verse number 4, teach the young women. He gives you all these things that you need to teach the young women. Now in verse number 6, we get to the young men. And we'll pick up right there next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to fully understand our place and our position and our roles of society and our homes and in, Lord, the lives that we live. Lord, that we could live a life. And, Lord, may that life be a life that portrays Christ. And, Lord, may it be a life that portrays love and the gospel and salvation to this lost and dying world. Lord, may it also be an example to others in how life ought to be lived and what a Christian home ought to look like. And Lord, how we ought to behave inside that home. May you bless the message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.